Hallelujah. God is so good to us. I just love the way he's been visiting our church. I just love it. And I am so thankful for it. And I believe God's given me a word today. But you know me, I like to start with a little bit of humor. And you know I love kids, right? So my first things I'm going to tell you are letters that kids write to their pastor. Dear pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister. Dear pastor, my father should be a minister. Every day he gives us a sermon about something. Dear pastor, are there any devils on earth? I think there may be one in my class. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished. Well, I hope you're not going to say that today. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of laughter, Lord. We thank you that we could come together. It's such a healing place, Lord, to be in the body of Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst and you want to speak to us. So we ask you today that you would just take this message and craft it the way you want, Lord. I really yield it to you, Lord. I'm just a vessel, just a tube, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. First part of my message, I'm going to be doing a little bit of teaching and highlighting some scriptures from Exodus chapter 13 and 14. And I want to start with Exodus 13, 17 to 18. I think we're going to put that up on the screen. And I know our media team is going to have a little bit of a challenge this morning because I'm going to go in and out. But please write these down, because when you go home, I want you to be able to reread them and let God put a fresh touch on them. So that's why we want to go through it, you know, in a timely way. But there's something God wants to say to us here. Exodus 13, 17 to 18. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them, listen, in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Now, God brought them out gloriously. I'm not going to go back over all the things that God did to finally release them, right? But he brings them out of Egypt, and he sends them in a way that is much longer, much more difficult than the way that it would be from Egypt to Canaan. It should have been a short road. And the way that they would have normally gone was along the coast. It was, there was trading there. You could buy and sell food. It was less of a rocky place. But God didn't send them that way. That's interesting. He sent them another way. And I think about that in our lives. Sometimes it's so curious, the path that God will have us on. It's supernatural. We don't know why things take so long or why we're not going the shortest way. But see, God knew their faith was not ready to face the enemy. They were not ready to fight. They were not ready to fight. So God took them on a different path that was going to teach them and prepare them, because they were not ready to fight. But the military outposts were there. God anticipated the dangers they could have faced by going that route, and he took them another way. They were not ready for the fight. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the second part, it says, "And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you attempt it, he will show you a way out so you can endure." God knew it was not time for them to meet the battle. They had been through a lot. They had come through, and he was setting them up, right? So God took them on another way, but I'm sure that a lot of them started to get a little uneasy. Have you ever gotten uneasy in the way that God was taking you? I have. I have. But he sent something to guide them. It was called a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I'm not going to read the scriptures, but it's Exodus 13, 20 to 22. And it wasn't just like a tour guide. It was, but somebody said that the cloud in the day provided shade. Can you imagine the desert with millions of people? It provided shade and guidance. But at night, it became a pillar of fire that provided light. Because when they first left, apparently they were traveling day and night. And the pillar of fire, it gave them light. It also probably, I was thinking, gave them warmth. Right? Because no matter how hot it gets in the day, at night, it gets hot, it gets cold. So God didn't leave them. And what was amazing about this, it was always, always in front of them. I want you to remember that because I'm going to talk about something regarding this. It was always in front of them. So if they got discouraged or they felt that God wasn't with them, they could look up and see the pillar of cloud leading them and they could see that pillar of fire and say, Jesus, you are with God, you are with us. God, you are with us. So God was with them. But now, the way that they were going, Pharaoh started to wonder. And it says that Moses led the Israelites actually back a little ways from where they had came. And Pharaoh said to himself, these Israelites, they don't even know what they're doing. They're going to go crazy out in that desert. Look, they're going backwards. Look, they're not going the right way to this promised land. They're coming back. Fools! That's what he thought. You know what? I'm going to pursue them. So Pharaoh says, besides, guess what? I'm going to miss my slaves. I'm going to miss my servants. Who's going to do all the work around here? Certainly not me. Pharaoh was convinced, but God had led them that way. But I imagine the people were very confused as well. Not just Pharaoh. It's like, God, why are we here? We're confused, Lord. They're not just confusing Pharaoh. You're confusing us. We don't know why we're here. Why did you lead us this way, Lord? We're confused. We feel trapped. And sure enough, Pharaoh pursues them. And he was out to get them with a vengeance. Did you ever see that? When the enemy wins, is defeated, he gets angry and he wants to come after them. He took 600 of his best chariots, but he took all of his chariots and he put charioteers in them and people to drive them. And he took his army and he took his infantry. He took his weapons. He took everything to follow them because he was mad. He was angry. How dare they leave us? Now he's forgetting all the things that he'd been through and why he had let the people go. But now his vengeance and his desire to get his servants back make him follow them. And guess what? Where God had led them, they were in a cul-de-sac. They were in a place where there was nowhere to go. There were mountains on either side. There was a sea in front of them, and there was a mad, mad army behind them. The people went bonkers. Can you imagine seeing the enemy behind you coming, and there's nowhere for you to go? I called them the terrified travelers. In Exodus 14, verses 10 to 12, it says this. Now listen, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, okay, they cried out to the Lord, but they dissed Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. Are you getting this? Yes, yes. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Whoa. Whoa. Things started getting rocky. They saw the enemy behind them. They saw what was happening. And all of a sudden, they took all of their distrust out on Moses. Did they say, leave us alone, we want to be slaves? There's no way they said that. But listen, when we're in a rock in a hard place, we start complaining. We start complaining about other people, about our leaders, about God. We forget what he did to bring us where we are. We forget to remember the testimony of all he has done. And we feel trapped. We feel panicked. We feel afraid. I was thinking this week, fear is really the antithesis of faith. And I will tell you that I've been a person, honestly, that has battled fear all my life. And I always say, when God gave me faith, he must have given me some. I know everybody has a measure of faith. But I'm not, I mean, there's people who could look at the devil in the face and say, get out of my way and go back where you came from. I'm not one of them. I say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. But see, fear starts to take over us. Fear starts to rob us and drain us of our faith. Fear starts to make us forget all the amazing things that God has done to get us where we are. I struggle with this myself. In the face of a trial, when I feel like the enemy is nipping at my toes, I just start to complain and say, God, what am I doing here? Really, you were better in Egypt? Really, you want to be a slave? Really, you want to go back to that? No way! No way. There's no way I really want to go back to that. But my fear says, I'd rather be in chains. I'd rather that he didn't even give a rip about me and just used me. But at least I had what did they say? Leeks? Leeks and garlic? I don't like them anyway. Except if they're in good Italian dishes. When we're in a fearful situation and we feel hemmed in, it's so easy to forget all the things. As he said, Ebenezer, hitherto, up until this moment, the Lord has helped us. And he will not forget us. He will not forget us. So no matter what you're facing today, you may feel hemmed in. You may feel like, God, why did you bring me to this place? Some of you have come to this country solely at the word of God, not at a whim. Some of you have done things in faith that seem so out of context with who you really are. But you knew the Lord confirmed it. He brought you there with a mighty hand. And he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Today, remember. Remember the things that God has done. In the Old Testament times, they used to build an altar. Every time God did something amazing, they take stones and they sacrifice and they would build an altar to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. We're going to remember this altar. We're going to remember this place of where you brought us from. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for Moses. He's such a calming spirit, isn't he? He says to the people in Exodus 14, 13 to 14, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Moses was truly a man of God. And, you know, it's a shame that he had to be the one again to remind them and to take all the burden and say, look, don't worry, guys. God's brought us out. He's going to lead us all the way through. Be still. Be calm before the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord. I know that our brothers and sisters around the world are going through this. Our brothers and sisters in the world are going through this where they are hemmed in. They are being pursued for their faith. They are being persecuted. There's nowhere to go. They have to trust God. You know, in America, we have so many, many things Now, we have doctors, we have, and you know, I know we have it tough too, but we have so many resources that sometimes it's really hard to just trust. And I'm not saying not to do whatever we can. We go to good doctors. We try to eat and exercise. We try to lose weight. We try to be wise with finances. All those things are very important. But let's not forget that the Lord is our source. The Lord is the one. And that we can trust Him. He has never, ever failed us yet. Thank God for Moses who had that calming spirit. But you know, I saw something when I read this that I never saw before. And I want you, please, when you go home, read this. But something I really didn't see about this before. I think Moses actually needed reassurance himself. Listen to the next verses in Exodus 14, 15 and 16. We're going to talk about water, so I had a drink. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, get moving. Get moving. So what does that say to you? Moses was calming the people, but I believe he was like, oh God, please, 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 what am I going to do with millions of people? God had to speak to Moses. And what did he say to him? Get moving. And then he says, tell the people to get moving. And he said to Moses, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Now, you know that this church is a praying church. We take prayer very, very, very seriously. Besides our Wednesday night prayer, we pray before the service. We have prayer lines, prayer chains, and we encourage everyone to pray in their homes as well. But there's a time after we pray, it's time to move. It's time to take action and get up and stand up and face what God is telling us to do. We can pray and pray and pray. But when God speaks, it's time to take action. It's time to move. This is not easy to do. When the enemy is nipping at our heels. Whew, I'm going to get those dudes. They're crazy. How did they think they would leave us? They're hemmed in. The devil thinks you're hemmed in. The devil thinks that you've got mountains you can't go over. The devil thinks there's a sea you're going to drown. And he's got you cooked. But my God shall supply all my needs. There's nothing impossible to them that believe. And God has miracles in store for his children. But we have to obey and move out. Not only did they have to move out, Moses had to take his staff, his trusty staff that he had used to do so many miracles and put it over the sea. Why? God could have just done anything. God could have just made an earthquake come in 1 minute and done it without it and said, okay, guys, now you see the sea is dry. Go ahead. God asks us to use faith sometimes. And I'm telling you, that challenges me because I have to look to God for faith. I have to believe him. It doesn't come as natural to me. I'm not just such a positive person. I can be very wimpy. Ask him. But there are times, there are times that God is saying, no, no, no. I don't want you to call pastor. I want you to believe that I am actually going to do this. You may look hemmed in. It may be that you're going to drown. You know, a few weeks ago, I'm going to tell you another testimony, but just a few weeks ago, my husband and I, we felt hemmed in about something. And I felt there was nowhere to go. And I was like, God, what do we do? What do we do about this? There's no answer. There's no answer. We were crying out to God. And this came to me. And God said, would you rather go back to slavery? Would you rather get massacred by the enemy? Go forward. And he said, and I felt this in my spirit. I responded this way. God, even if you don't open the sea, I'd rather drown and go meet you than have the enemy kill me or have the enemy put me back in slavery. Huh? There's not really a choice. There wasn't a choice for them. They were like, oh, well, we could go back and be slaves. No, 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 no. Pharaoh wanted to kill them. Pharaoh wanted to enslave them worse than before. There's not really a choice. Either we're going to step out on the word of God and take hold of his promises or drown. Or face the enemy. And I said, Lord, I'd rather drown with you. If having faith means that I'm going to lose it, like Esther said. If we perish, we perish. Pray for me. Fast for me. I'll go before the king even though I'm not supposed to. But if we perish, we perish. Because Mordecai said to her, who knows if God has raised you up for such a time as this? Who knows why you're in the position you are in right now? Who knows why you've had to go through the desert instead of going straight to Canaan? I don't have those answers. I don't know it for my life. But all I know is that God gets the glory. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Or someday we have to give our lives for the gospel. It's better to go and be with Jesus than serve a dead God or be forced into slavery. And the day may be coming before we know it. I'm not a prophesier of doom, but I will tell you this, things are getting very, very shaky out there. And I feel that it's not going to be a lot longer before we're persecuted for our faith. I don't mean shot, I don't mean put in jail, but I mean our rights being contested for, which they already are. Things that we can't even believe are happening around us. But I know our God can make a way for us. But even if he doesn't, he's raised us up for such a time as this. And we're building his kingdom. We can't go back to the world. We can't go back to the bondage. We don't want to be part of what was in slavery. All the sin. Not knowing how about what God has delivered us from. Waking up, God forbid, in the bed of someone you don't even know. And then not even knowing you. And then having that shame and that guilt. God delivered you from that. From pornography where you were hooked to a computer and felt shame and guilt. God delivered you from that. Oh, hallelujah. He's been such a good God. I don't wanna go back to that. There's nothing there for me. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. If we perish, we perish. And I'm not some kind of valiant soldier. I'm not some kind of person making broad pronunciations of faith. But I just do say, I'd rather be with Jesus than go back in the hands of the enemy. Listen, listen. Some may be doubting. Some may be saying, why am I here at the sea? Why did God lead me in this way? God is saying this morning, pray, seek my face, remember the good things, but go forward, go forward, go forward, Brother Steve, go forward, Sister Lorraine, who's here this morning after we've prayed for her and others. God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, people have said, and God opened the Red Sea, we know that, right? So some people have said, that Bible story stuff is such a fairy tale. There was probably 3 inches of water for a million people to walk through on dry ground. This Bible story. Well, yeah? Then tell me how Pharaoh's army drowned in 3 inches of water. How did Pharaoh's army drown in 3 inches of water? No, no, no. My God opened the Red Sea. They said that they don't know if it was an earthquake or something phenomenal, that just the hand of God. But, you know, and I'm not saying when you're at a sea, like the things that sometimes we do is like, okay, let's build a bridge. Let's build a bridge. We'll get it done. Or how about boats? Well, how about we make a deal with Pharaoh? You know, when you're really at a Red Sea, none of those man-made plans will work. None of them. When we're at the Red Sea, only God Almighty can make a way. But He is faithful. And He's a way maker. Amen, amen, amen. You know, we've been getting messages. I want to bring out one other point before I go on. Another interesting point. Remember I told you that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire went always before them. But at this time, you know what happened? In Exodus 14, 19 to 20, it says the angel of the Lord went behind them. And so did the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. So what, Pastor Angel? Wait. If I'm used to always having the pillar in front of me and I don't see it, I think God left me. What happened? No cloud, no pillar. Where is it? God's got your back. God's got your back. And you know what? The Egyptians never came near the Israelites because the pillar of cloud and the angel of the Lord were there. They never touched each other. Believe it. When you're going through a trial, you're not alone. God's got your back. He's putting interference with the enemy as long as you're trusting Him and believing Him. God's got it. So don't think because you're looking up and you don't see the cloud in front of you that He's gone. He's there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's a time when God is really speaking to the church. Last week we heard Brother Joel speak about don't miss your opportunity. That there are things we need to do to take advantage of the timing we're at. Children of Israel basically had to listen and set foot in the water and go forward. Moses had to raise his staff. Sometimes God will give us things to do to cooperate with the miracle He's going to do. Don't miss your opportunity. Pastor Dave had spoken a few weeks ago on the grace of God, to cooperate with the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, the last part, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No! I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. God is speaking to us. We don't get a free hall pass because we're Christians. God is working for us. God is with us. But sometimes we have to put our foot in the water to see a part. Sometimes we have to raise our staff. Sometimes we have to take action that the Lord gives us. Not man-made. Man-made won't work. Seek God. Seek His answers. Get counsel from leaders. But then at one point, we have to get off our knees and start moving. Hallelujah. This message is very dear to me today. I would tell you some personal, as I usually always do, try to bring a little bit of my personal story into this. About 2 years ago, I was going through a very, very depressed time. I was going through a very hard time. To be honest with you, I'm a fighter, but I felt like giving up. I felt like, Lord, I'm hemmed in. I just feel like giving up. And it was something that normally maybe wouldn't have gotten at my heart so much, but the devil was using it to put me in bondage. The enemy was using it to put me in bondage. And I was just so feeling sorry for myself, and I was down. And to be honest, I think I had kind of a right to be in the natural, in my flesh, to be a little upset. But it was nowhere to go. I was thinking, oh, maybe Egypt would have been better. Ha! And one day, I was really at, like, the worst point of depression in the whole thing. And I was getting ready to leave my neighborhood, and my husband left before me. And all of a sudden, I know some of you have heard me tell this again, but it's so appropriate for this. I was getting ready to leave my neighborhood, and they said, oh, no, ma'am, turn around, can't leave. There's only, like, basically one exit. You got to get back. There's an active shooter on the main road. Active shooter? theater. Where are we? This is like a nightmare. Active shooter. So my husband had gotten out. That made me even more mad. Why? I needed to get out today. Lord, I've had it. I'm depressed. I'm feel isolated as it is, and you're taking me back home? This is terrible. I was really, really upset. He got out. I had to go back, and I was really, really upset. I went back home. I tried to find it on TV, what was happening there. Maybe I would have taken a chance with the active shooter the way I found. Couldn't find anything, didn't understand anything. So I just was quiet a minute. And I'm not kidding. I don't know. I still don't know how God speaks. Is it an audible voice? Is it something in our heart? Is it a sign in our mind and our words? I don't know. But I heard this scripture that the Lord said to Moses, why are you standing here? I heard a little paraphrase crying out to me, go forward. I want to quit. God, I don't think you get it. There's a sea in front of me. Go forward. I don't even know how to swim. I don't care to swim. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm disgusted. Why are you complaining to me? God said, go forward. And just like that, he put two things in my heart to do. And I said, it either has to be God or I've gone mad. One of them has not come to pass yet, but the other one, I'm going to tell you what it was. He said, I want you to apply to school. Apply to school? Yes. I want you to further your degree in ministry. God, I am going to drown on this one. I graduated college in, I think, 1980. I don't even know how to apply. Surely, this is a test, Lord. Surely this is a test. I want you to go forward. So in the best way that I knew how, I mean, now nothing is with written applications. Everything is online. I went on Southeastern's website, and I applied to, I asked how to apply. That in itself was a biggie. I started calling, and I did just the very, very preliminary steps. And I said, God, I'm 66. I graduated college in 1980. This is either you or I'm a fool. But one thing I know, Lord, just by being obedient, I'm opening the way for you to answer. Even if I never go, if I never go, I obeyed you. And so I applied. One step left to another. One thing led to another. I got a good person on the phone who was very patient with me. I said, look, I want to explain something. I'm 66 years old. I said, I haven't been to school. They call my my learning portal the My Fire from Southeastern, My Fire. It's like when I was in school, My Fire is what you toast marshmallows on. It wasn't a website. One thing led to another, to another, to another, till God opened the door and I found myself in class. I cannot tell you the miracle. There were so many things that had to line up. God put me in just the right class that was meeting then, with just the right teacher who had a lot of patience. When I wrote to him before the class started, I said, excuse me, I told him the whole shmeel. I said, I'm 66. I haven't been to school for 38 years. And he said, don't worry. He said, there are many more seasoned people in our class. I said, I like this teacher. Turns out his wife was in the same class with me, and they've become good friends of ours. God has led me. And I have to do it real slow for finances. I have to do it real slow because there's so much to do here and with family. But I cannot even tell you how it has enriched my life. I can't explain it to you. All I know is that Jesus is in it. All I know is that I don't know if I'm... People say, when are you going to finish? I don't know. I don't know if I ever will. I really don't know if I ever will. But that's not my concern. My concern was... Put your foot in, girl. Stop complaining and go forward. Hallelujah. I'm not saying this to brag about myself. Honestly, you could ask my husband every time I say, I don't want to even tell anybody what I got on a grade if I pass because it's all glory to God. All. I've told my children that. All glory to God. People will tell me you're smart. I'm not. This is just God. This is just God. He's given me gifts. But I could not do this at this age and with my state in life without the Lord. I give him all the glory. I give him all the honor. I don't know what, if anything, he's going to do with this. But all I know is that when I put my foot in, the water parted. And we walked across. We're walking across still. And God, who is faithful, will not leave us or forsake us. Who am I talking to today? We've been getting messages one after another about what the times we're living in and how, you know, in Daniel, I have the scripture here, Daniel 11:32b, it says, but the people who know God shall be strong and do great things. They're talking about in the last days. Yes, we can poo-poo everything that's going on. We can get negative. We can get down. But I have God's promise. Yes. Those that know the Lord will be strong and do great exploits. God has more for you than you can imagine. But it's time. It's time to pray and then do what God tells you to do. Only what he tells you to do. I'm not talking about some humanistic, fleshy thing. I'm not that'll get us deeper in water. That'll get the enemy close to us. I'm talking about, like Brother Joel said last week, when we pray and we seek God, like the sons of Issachar, we'll hear the voice of God. We'll discern the voice of God. It'll be proven. It'll be timely. It'll be confirmed. And God will enable us. And what he does with us is his business. I don't know if I'll ever do anything with what I'm learning, but I know the change that happened in here. I know the change that happened in my home because I saw God do what I could never do. Hallelujah. Who am I talking to today? Don't be discouraged. You may have thought the road would have been simpler by now. And God has us on this road. Until we get to heaven, there's no perfect place. But in every place they went, God provided manna. God provided water from the rock. God provided each and everything they needed, even in the desert. Their lack of faith made the short journey become longer and longer and longer. So if you're like me, ask God to help you with your faith. Ask for that courage to take the next step. I know with our 2020 vision, we have a little over $200,000 left on this mortgage, on this one that has to be paid down before we could build. In case you didn't know, 2020 is next year. But as I've prayed about this, we as the people of God need to do what we can do. We need to sacrifice. But then the Lord says, you do what you can do and then watch me do what I do. If we don't cooperate, we say, God, send us a millionaire. Guess what? That's not going to be built. But if we do what we can do, if we give sacrificially, whether it's $1, $1,000, or $1 million, God will do the rest. It takes faith to step in the water. Pastor's been meeting with all kinds of people doing planning and all of the different things, zoning, and it goes before, tell us, engineers, architects, construction, general contractor, and it's going to go before the county soon. Almost all sealed and ready to go. But we need the money. But that's God's business. We're doing what we can. Now we're trusting God to open that Red Sea. Amen? Amen. How many are with me on that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a faithful and He's a good God. Who knows that you've come to the kingdom as you've been hearing? And as Pastor Dave said, yes, God's grace is working in us. It is, but we have to cooperate. God's grace could be pouring out on us and pouring out, but we could just be sitting there and saying, I'm going to be the same person if I'm going to. If God wants me to get across, He'll fly me across. He may want you to walk across on that. He may want you to walk on water. Oh, that didn't even come to me. He may want you to walk on water like Peter. That's God's business. But what I know is no sea can stop you and me when we are in the presence of God, when we're walking in His path, when we're doing what He asks us to do. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged, but be willing to act in faith as the Lord gives it to you. He's so gracious, He even gives us that faith. Act in His faith. Obey the promptings of the Lord. Obey the promptings of the Lord. Sometimes they don't make sense. Like the little widow who gave her last meal to feed the prophet, and then it never ran dry, and the meal never ran out. Whatever the prompting is that's stopping your progress and my progress, let's trust God. And let's believe Him, because you know what? He wants to get all the glory. It's like, oh, Angela's smart. No, Angela's not smart. God gets the glory. God did this for me. I don't understand why it took 38 years to go back to school. But He is faithful. This was the time. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know why you are where you are. But God is working. Trust Him. Put your foot in the water. And I'm going to close with this. Sister Carmen this week and the ladies at the seniors. You got to come there. Those ladies, oh my gosh. Will we let them visit maybe once? Carmelita? I don't know. These ladies are so rich in knowledge. But Carmen Bonilla read this saying about a woman who had a dream. And as she had this dream, she was surrounded by a lot of people, and she wanted to go up into the mountain. And she was told that she'd have to walk up. But as she took the steps, there was rocks, and there was stones, and it was uneven, and briars and thorns. And she said, I can't take a step. But she kept hearing Jesus. It was the voice say to her, take a step. She took a step, then another step. Then another step, and when she looked back, she realized she was at the top of the mountain because the angel had gone before her, taking away the obstacles, taking away the stones, taking away the chains. He breaks every chain, taking away everything that was in front of her. The angel had taken it away. When she looked back, she was at the top of the mountain, and she saw Jesus there at the bottom of the mountain looking up at her. You see, if you don't take a step, you'll never know. If you think it's all cut glass and briars and thorns and all of this, if you think there's only a sea, but God said there's not, we've got to take a step in prayer, in fasting, do our homework, hear from God, and then move forward in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want the audio team, if you would, put up the verses from that song, Waymaker. Not the chorus, but just the verses. And maybe we could even have, in a moment, have the worship team come back.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's what I want to say before we close this morning. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Angela. Thank you so much for pouring out your heart to us. Would you please stand with me right now? Listen, folks, this is so important. This is so, so important. Please don't get distracted right now. This is a critical moment right now. If you haven't heard it already, let me reinforce what Pastor Angela has said in one sentence. God has a better vision for your life. In one sentence, God has the best vision for your life. You cannot imagine in your most creative, most, arduous, laborious, trying to figure out your life. In one second, God can flash a picture of the promised land. And here's what he said to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, Israel is my son. Let my son go because he has to come and worship me on this mountain. You see, God had a plan that required the people to end up at Mount Sinai. There were obstacles on the way. Just like when Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. He didn't mention there was going to be a storm. But when Jesus says we're going to meet on the mountain, I'm going to take his word for it. If I have to die to get there, I'm going to meet him on the mountain. If Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side in these little boats, I'm going to get in the boat. Because I trust the word of Jesus. God doesn't lie. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. But who else would you rather trust? Can you think of anybody in this world who has not failed, including yourself, has not made a mistake? But his word is true. God has a better vision for your life. And he's saying today, take the next step toward that vision. Take the next step toward that vision. I want us to sing the verse of the Waymaker. But before we do, is there anybody here, while our heads are bowed for a moment, close your eyes with me. Is there anybody here who has never, ever given full control of your life to God? Never, ever said, Jesus, I want you to be in the driver's seat of my life. I recognize that you died for my sin. I recognize that you're the only rightful one who deserves to be God in my life. Stuff is not God. Money is not God. People is not God. My job is not God. I am not God. Jesus, you deserve to be worshipped in my life. Is there one here today who say, yes, Pastor, I want to put Jesus in the first place in my life. I want to take a step towards Jesus today. Would you raise your hand right now? I want to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody here? Yes, I see that hand in the back. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Here's a simple prayer you can pray. And I want us to say it together. If you have any doubt this morning that your sins are forgiven, you're not sure. If you were to die today, tonight, you were to face God, you're not sure whether you would spend eternity in heaven. You're not sure your sins have been forgiven. You can be sure today. This is the assurance we have. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the assurance. God exchanged his son for your salvation. He ransomed your life. He gave his son a ransom payment for your sins. His blood was the ransom payment. Are you with me today? Is there anybody who agrees with me this morning? His blood was the ransom that paid for my freedom. If you accept that this morning, if you accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins and he's the only hope you have of salvation, and you accept his blood as the payment for your sin, would you raise your hand right now, wherever you are? Yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He paid for my... I can't save myself. Salvation is what you do when you trust in Jesus. All right. Say, Lord, say this prayer, everybody out loud. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, Lord. I acknowledge today that you are the sinless Son of God. That you came to this earth to show me what God the Father was like. You came to this earth to prove your love to me. And when you died on the cross and you shed your blood, you said, Father, forgive them. for they know not what they do. You died in my place. I accept your salvation. There's no other way to the Father. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I put my faith in you, Lord Jesus. From this day forward, I am free of my sins. I am cleansed. I am washed. I am born again. Somebody give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. I am born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.